Joshua chapter 14. And remember, as we just sang, as we stand before the throne, this is His Word, which He speaks to us. And give your attention to it. Now these are the territories which the sons of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the households of the tribes of the sons of Israel apportioned to them for an inheritance. By the lot of their inheritance, as the Lord commanded through Moses for the 9 tribes and the half tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of the 2 tribes and the half tribe beyond the Jordan, but he did not give an inheritance to the Levites among them. For the sons of Joseph were 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, and they did not give a portion to the Levites in the land, except cities to live in, with their pasture lands for their livestock and for their property. Thus the sons of Israel did just as the Lord had commanded Moses, and they divided the land. Then the sons of Judah drew near to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord spoke to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought word back to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt with fear, but I followed the Lord my God fully. So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land on which your foot has trodden will be an inheritance to you and to your children forever, because you have followed the Lord my God fully.' Now behold, the Lord has let me live, just as he spoke these 45 years from the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses when Israel walked in the wilderness, and now behold, I am 85 years old today. I am still as strong today as I was in the day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, so my strength is now for war and for going out and coming in. Now then, give me this hill country about which the Lord spoke on that day, for you heard on that day that Anakim were there with great fortified cities. Perhaps the Lord will be with me, and I will drive them out as the Lord has spoken.' So Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, until this day, because he followed the Lord God of Israel fully." Now the name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Arba, for Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. Well, that is God's word. He had his blessing to us as we continue looking at it. In chapter 13, remember that they started distributing the land. They distributed to the tribes west of the Jordan River, and now they turn to the east side of the Jordan, the main area where they are to distribute the land to the other tribes. And we see the introduction for this whole section. It doesn't end in chapter 14. It goes on through much of the rest of the book of Joshua. And we see that introduction to this whole section in verses 1 through 5, describing the dispensing of the land. And then the tribe of Judah is the first tribe to come forward for those tribes west of the Jordan. And we see that as Judah comes forward in verse 6 to the end of the passage, that from among them, Caleb comes forward, the one who spied out the land of Canaan before Israel entered with Moses, or when Moses was still alive. And he did so with Joshua, if you remember, as he's speaking to Joshua now. And so we see 2 main things with Caleb here, as it has to do with his faith, the faith of Caleb. First, we see the strength of his faith, or the devotion of his faith. That it wasn't in fear of man his faith was, but it was in fear of God. As he recounts the story of when he came back from spying out the land. Remember when they went to spy out the land, that it wasn't It was when they came, he even describes it here in verse 8, that his brethren went up with him, made the heart of the people melt with fear when they recounted the story of what the land was like. They had seen the Canaanite cities. They were heavily fortified. Their militaries were big, and it was a hopeless task in the eyes of the majority of the spies. But Caleb knew who led Israel. Not Moses. It wasn't even the majority, the elders of Israel. It wasn't the people of Israel. It was the Lord God of Israel who led Israel. And three times in this passage before us, verse 8, verse 9, and verse 14, Caleb states that he followed the Lord God. At the time, Caleb and Joshua were the lone ones who stood apart from the majority. They were in the minority. And they gave a report following the majority. The majority gave that report, which made the people's heart melt in fear. And the majority, Caleb and Joshua gave the report. The land was good. That we can possess it. The Lord is with us. And they said, stop fearing men. And faith Caleb had here was a willingness, a courage to stand alone. Although he was with Joshua, he was pretty much standing alone against all the people who now feared for their lives. He had a courage to stand alone. He stood isolated. We think in our lives, working men here, perhaps in your jobs or even other places in as you've worked and you've gone to your jobs or even in life, perhaps you were asked by your boss, you need to come in on Sunday and work on the Lord's Day. He didn't say the Lord's Day, but he said you need to come and work on Sunday. And you had to stand isolated, stand alone. Maybe all of your other workers, yeah, we have to come in, okay. But you had to say, no, I can't do that because the Lord has commanded me not to come in, not to work, but to rest. And despite the pressure to lose your job or ramifications that might have occurred, maybe that was you. Or maybe it's when you're being pressured to conform to the culture, peer pressure. Teenagers feel this a lot, peer pressure. Peer pressure is just doing what the majority of people are doing. To do differently is hard. To do differently, as the Christian has to do differently often, is very difficult. And perhaps you see, as teenagers, you see examples before you, sinful example, maybe even in the church. You see other people of the covenant community in sin or pressuring you to conform to their way. And God says, no, you need to listen to me and follow me. It's the devoted, the one who is true and who has a strong faith is the one who will stand for the word of God always. And not with or for the word of men. So often it will be, no matter your age, that you will stand in the minority as a Christian. And you'll have to say, this is the way we must go. Because this is the word, this is what the word says. That's what Caleb had to do. He had to trust in the power of the Lord God Almighty. And thus he knew that God was able to conquer the land. He had to stand by himself with Joshua, but against him, with the threat of death. They were about to be stoned after they gave the report. They were about to be put to death. And maybe that might be some who are in our future. We might have to stand for what the word says, and we might be threatened with death if that time comes. And so we have to have a devoted, strong faith, just like Caleb. That second you see here, and a little shorter, the anchor of his faith. What is the anchor? What's the foundation of his faith? It's the Word of God. Multiple times here, even as we think of not just what Caleb said here, but as we pray to the Lord, what is our foundation? What is our anchor when we pray? When we go out into the world, what's our anchor? It has to be the Word of the Lord. Verse 6, you see his request is based on the word which the Lord spoke to Moses. And it keeps coming back to this. Verse 10, the Lord has let me live just as he spoke these 45 years from the time the Lord spoke this word to Moses. Verse 12, which the Lord spoke on that day. And again, as the Lord has spoken. True faith always functions this way. Whether it's in our prayers, in our life, wherever it's at, true faith functions that way. It's always based in the promises of God. It's always based in God's word. It pleads his promises. The anchor of faith is and must be in the word of God. There's nothing else that is sure in this life. There's no other foundation for faith than in him, the Lord, and the word. So let's go to the Lord in prayer now, pleading for his promises to come about.